Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat. This is for April the 28th of 2020. And this is our 200th chat. So...
Yay!
What is happening?
That was not me. But, yeah, so congratulations, guys, on everyone that's here in this chat currently. You guys made it. You did it.
We're now level 2.
You really did it. Yeah, and a few of us have been here since the beginning. A few people are new, and that's fine. I'm excited about everyone that is here this evening, and I think everyone here this evening are the true people of Game Chat.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Shots fired. Anyway,
I like to say that.
Oh, man. Glad I came.
Wow.
Okay, alright. Let me just control myself. For every chat that we have for this listening, we have introduction, so you know who you're listening to. We also have an intro question that usually has to do with the game that we're talking about this week. It has to do with game chat in general. And, oh, I don't guess I said, for this 200th chat, we kind of waffled on what to do. But we don't fall down, guys. That's the important part. You wibble wobble, but you don't fall down. It's a marketing slogan. Anyway, but we decided, we kind of came to a conclusion on headcanons. So in the space of games that we've covered with Game Chat, our top 3, possibly 5 headcanons that we have from those games, for those games. Headcanon, if you're unsure of the definition, a roundabout definition would be something that you hoped would have happened on games or in, like, stories for games. It usually didn't happen. It usually isn't a thing. So instead of canon, it's headcanon, because you thought of it in your head. So we're going to be sharing those this evening, as well as sharing some from, our friends over on Facebook, Reading Gamebow. We have some headcanons from them as well. They're not necessarily from Game Chat games, but just headcanons for gaming in general.
So if you're not, spoilers abound for everything. Just
yes.
FYI.
Correct.
Since we're not talking about any one specific game, spoilers for every game ever. So
yeah. So if you're not
listen with caution.
Yeah. Then just listen and tune out if it's like, oh, I haven't played this one.
Yeah. So, maybe just fast forward a couple seconds.
So when we say our headcanons, we should probably say like what game we're going to be talking about the headcanon from first. Like yep. Name the game and then talk about it. That way people can
fun
know.
To let the people guess what game we're talking about.
Probably so. But you know, you never know. You never know. Anyways. All right. So let's get into introductions. So our intro question for this week is, if you had to choose one Game Chat game out of any of the games that we've covered to be the only game you could play for the rest of your life, which game would that be? And starting with Frank.
Hello, this is Franco. Keeping it to the Game Chat realm, I'd have to say Dragon Age. And do I have to specify which one?
they all are different games, so kind of. I think that's fair.
Okay. Inquisition.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I can, respect. Next. Wait,
have we had that game chat? Sorry.
Oh. We're in the process. Okay.
This is my last game chat.
This is going to be about, isn't it?
Join us on our 300th game chat where we talk about.
Oh, guys. Okay. Keep going. All right.
Well, okay. I was actually going to jokingly say Dragon Age Inquisition, but Franco took that away from me.
Franco said it non-jokingly.
I know. But in all honesty, Dragon Age Origins. Because I didn't realize how much I really loved that game until I replayed it for a game chat. And I'm like, I think I could play that game 100 times. So, Dragon Age Origins.
Awesome. All right, next.
This is Madeline. And can I say my runner-up as well as my number one?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so runner-up is definitely Eshade that we talked about last week. But number one would be Night in the Woods. Because I loved the story and I loved all the characters. And I know there's still a bunch of stuff that I have yet to find in the game, even though I've played it twice. But I really sucked at playing with the band, and I sucked at Demon Tower, which is the game inside the game that you can play on May's laptop.
Yeah.
So if I just had one game to play for the rest of my life, maybe I could eventually be good at the at those two aspects of that game.
Nice. I like it. All right, next.
Hi, this is Kevin. Can I also do what Madeline did?
Absolutely, you can.
My runner-up would probably be Where the Water Tastes Like Wine.
Good choice. There's
a lot of... Because, even if you get all the stories in a playthrough, you can still get the variations upon the stories and end up getting a completely different myth or legend or whatever you want to call it.
That's good.
But my number one would have to... be the same as Madeline, which is Night in the Woods.
Good choice. Before we continue, Frank and Jonathan, do you have runner-ups? You can give a runner-up too.
Possibly. Chris. This is Chris. Before I go into my games, I just want to publicly call out Chris Bowden. Foremost, I tried to invite him on this episode here. I also invited Monzo and Chris Clark. Both of them have valid excuses here.
Yes, they do.
Monzo has a kid, so that's perfectly acceptable. Chris Clark is moving several states over, so he's busy with that.
Where's he going to?
Pennsylvania, I believe.
Oh wow! Okay,
yeah. Fancy.
And Chris Bowden is just sitting at home doing absolutely nothing right now, so
shade chat.
Yeah.
Some celebration this is.
So he has no excuse. But anyway, so it's a tough one for me because it's a toss-up between Grim Fandango and I almost forgot the name, but it's Detroit Become Human. But then I also do like the whole Night in the Woods answer as well. But if I have to absolutely narrow it down, I don't know. It would probably have to be Grim Fandango because it's like,
yeah.
No matter how many times I play that game, I never get sick of it.
Yeah.
So.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Good answers. Before I go, Frank and Jonathan, do you have runners-ups that you would like to share?
You know what? It I was struggling a little bit, but then Chris saved me. Detroit Becoming Human with all the branching and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really tough to get bored of that game.
Detroit would probably be my runner-up. But my runner-up is Pyre. Because I just, I love that game. It had such a good gameplay loop. And like, just depending on like all the characters, which ones you decide to play with, which ones you decide to send. And, you know, I just, even if you did get all the story outcomes, it's just a fun sports game. You know?
It really is.
So.
Oh, man. So good. This is Steph. For mine, you know, I went through all of our games, and which you can find our past chats on thegamechat.net if you don't know. I went through all of them, and I actually, you know, because I'm thinking like, okay, like a game that like I have to take with me, and I'm sitting somewhere, I have no other games to play, I must play this one. I wanted something that would be audibly and visually interesting. So much to the point where I'd want to like just sit there and just take it all in. So for my game that I would choose, Eastshade. So I was like, you know, I could sit in this world and just enjoy the sound and what I see. And not, even though like I would eventually run out of quests, I would just want to go in and just be like, this is nice. This is yes. Nice. And then my runner up would probably be Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, which I hadn't really thought about. I don't think I considered, I don't think that I even like, for some reason I must have looked that, overlooked that one, but yeah, that would be my second, especially since I haven't played like the new stuff that they added since on their last update. So that would be good. That'd be good. Mason says that he loved Life is Strange. Michelle would choose to live in Wolf Among Us. Yes. Also good choices. Good choices. Good choices. All right, and to do a little explanation of earlier, Chris mentioned Chris Bowden, who, since it's the two in the chat, I will say that he did kind of help start this. So, you know, congrats, wherever you are, Chris, sitting at home, you know, said, not being in the chat.
He said he was going to listen to the recording.
Listen to the recording, huh? Well, you listening? You suck. Anyways, so let's get on with our headcanons, shall we? I guess we'll just kind of move down the list like we usually do. So that way we kind of have a little bit of a of an order. And then I'll read like after we get through everyone. One time, I will read a couple of things that we got from our Facebook friends reading Gamebo. So it doesn't have to be like, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really number mine like, you know, this is my number one, this is my number two. If you did, then just say so, you know, that this is definitely like my number one headcanon of all, you know, of all the Game Chat games. And please just be sure to just say the name of the game before you go into explaining it, just in case people listening want to kind of tune out for a minute or two. So, Frank, do you want to start us off?
That's a loaded question. Is it wrong? I'm just going to start like with this. Is it wrong that most of my headcanon is fixing endings I didn't like?
No,
that's absolutely.
I have a couple of those.
Yeah.
I think that counts. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes it easy then. Like, Walking Dead 4 to start.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And almost you could probably say Walking Dead 3 as a 1A. You know, it's like it's like, guys, you can start games well, but you just cannot end them.
Yeah.
Life's Strange too. Like another one where it's like
okay, one at a time, Frank. One at a time.
No, but I, okay, one at a time. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Walking Dead 4 and 3, 1A. So that's
okay.
That's my, okay. Okay. So
anything just specific you would change about them? Or, like, I mean, other than, like, I mean, yes, the ending, but did you have any other endings in mind? Or
not really. Like, I mean, just, yeah.
Let it be noted that Frank would like the endings changed through these games.
Yes. Do a better, I would, yeah, be like if I was in the, executive producer, it would be definitely a flip back of the notebook and say, here, do it better.
I think that's fair.
Just scrap Walking Dead 3 because it has nothing to do with Clementine.
Honestly, yes.
That was one of mine, was that New Frontier was not ever Clementine canon. Since she's not a playable character.
Yeah.
But we gotta save Kate!
Rough times.
Golly.
Rough times. All right. Jonathan, do you want to give one of yours?
Okay. So I guess, you know, if you've listened to the past couple weeks, you already know this one. Mm. But this is a headcanon for me about Night Trap.
Oh,
and so you start out the game Night Trap. You start the game out and you know, you get the whole intro sequence and you meet the whole team. And who is this team? They're the SCAT team. And SCAT stands for Special Control Attack Team.
Mm-hmm.
Special Control.
Yes. Like
a division of the Federal Bureau of Control. I think the weird, creepy Night Trap wine house cellar place that the vampires live in is one of those what's it called,
a place of power. Yes.
No,
object of power.
They're objects of powers. Yes. What was the buildings called?
Altered world.
Yeah, it's one of those. Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of those. And yeah, okay. Yeah, it was an AWE event in a place of power with all sorts of objects of power and vampires all running around, and Night Trap is in the Control universe. Confirmed in Jonathan's headcanon.
Honestly, it's not that far out.
I really like it.
Honestly. To be honest.
I really like it. So, like, is the room itself, do you imagine that there's, like, an object of power down there, or that the room itself is one of those, like...
I would feel like the house itself is one of those places of power, like, mm-hmm. like the hotel or the oldest house, you know? Because, like, what normal house can have weird traps like that?
Yeah.
That, it also attracts vampires and weird things called augurs that are half vampires? Wow. I don't know.
Vampire zombies?
So, I mean, like, you gotta think, you know, in the world of Control, you know, that place must have looked weird in the 80s. So.
This is intricate.
Yeah, it's only gonna get deeper from here with my other headcase. So strap in, everybody.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Madeline, give us one of yours.
All right. Well, I will pick one that is also Control, going off of Jonathan's.
Yes.
So I told people who were in chat back when we talked about Control that I had a big, like, feminist manifesto thing about Control, and then I had to work that day and I didn't get to share it with anybody. So here's my feminist theories about Control. So basically everyone that you talk to in the game of Control is a girl, which is crazy, honestly,
mm-hmm.
for video games still today.
Yeah.
And you, the woman, Jesse Faden, is replacing the former director, who has been ousted, it seems, initially at the behest of the board. The board is this giant inverted black triangle, which is the symbol for, does anybody know? inverted triangle. If you watch
Illuminati,
yes, yeah. If you watched, Dan or Brown, I guess if you read, the Da Vinci Code is symbol for women. And then Jesse also helped a couple of other women in the department, like come into their own. Like the one, she was my favorite character. I don't even remember her name. The one blonde woman who worked with the crazy doctor who did like a video, like a music video for you. Emily Pope. Like you, Jesse is instrumental in like getting her into her own like position of respect and where she can actually do stuff that she's passionate about. Marshall is an incredibly powerful woman. She's in charge of all of the security for all of the, like the entire oldest house. And she's a black woman. The only thing that kind of, the other thing, the power that Jesse keeps talking to, the dude called, Hadron or whatever, the Jesse keeps calling her a woman as well, recognizing it as a feminine power. And if you go on some of the side quests, fights, you fight this giant one-eyed, very phallic thing that the board keeps saying is like attacking them or is like offensive to them. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you look, I'm not saying that any of this was the intent of the creators or that it should be the way that everyone reads the game. Not at all. But if you look at it from a feminist perspective, it's kind of fascinating, all the tiny little things that you can find that fall in with that line of thinking. So, yay, like girl it. Power.
I like it. Very well thought out, Madeline. Very well thought out. All right. So, Kevin, you want to give us one of yours?
This would have to probably be my number one headcanon.
Okay.
I'm starting with it because it's the one that's freshest. For Night in the Woods, in my headcanon, the events of The Longest Night actually did take place. And that some of the characters in the city are not necessarily reincarnations, but like embodiments of other beings, like or aspects of beings from like that game, like I think his name's ID. The mysterious miner, whatever, has some aspects similar to the cat. The janitor is similar to the forest god, and also ends up playing the forest god and kind of acts like a god character in a way because he keeps randomly appearing at mysterious moments throughout the game.
Yeah.
There's probably some other characters, but yeah, that's what I kind of think that.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. All right, Chris, you want to give us one of yours?
So two out of my three revolve somewhat around dogs. Fair. Yes. My first one is from Life is Strange 2. And I have two different variations. One of them is Mushroom Lives. And the game ends up revolving around him. And he ends up fighting crime with his bandana.
I love it.
Mushroom was a girl.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I would think that would be a much better game than what we ended up were subjected to.
Or they left Mushroom with Chris, and it's the game's Mushroom and Chris going on adventures.
Yeah, it's just Chris and Mushroom going on adventures.
I love it.
Max and Chloe show up and just slap some sense into them and set them on the actual right path. Which I was kind of like expecting throughout the entire game anyway, for like Max to show up, be like, oh, I have powers too. And, you know, this is how you need to like control them or whatnot, you know, with her being the kind of like the teacher in a way. But no, we ended up getting subjected to step douche.
It's kind of
with a ponytail.
Yeah,
few of your main games about someone with powers and then not really connect them other than, oh, they know of Arcadia Bay and that's it.
Yeah,
but if you stand next to David's trailer long enough, you could hear him get a phone call.
Yeah.
From Chloe. And they mention Max.
Okay.
Oh, and there's a photo.
Yeah, that's
look at this photograph.
Basically. I love it. All right. So one of mine. Let me just pick from my long list here. I have calm down. All right. Okay. So, I mean, a lot of mine are actually, like, I actually had to, like, go back. Oh, God, Kevin.
Oh, gosh.
I actually had to go back and, as I said, I looked through all of the games we had covered and some of them was a bit harder and I tried to, like, listen to, like, my scoring on some of the older games and it didn't help whatsoever. So I was like, maybe I mentioned something that I thought I hoped would have happened instead. But I think that I would have had to, like, listened to the entire chat, which I did not plan for that. So one of the ones that I think I had, and I also had for those listening, in our Discord channel, what you're missing is, well, I mean, now you're missing us trying to cover up a picture of, look at this photograph. but there's also a channel called, I've forgot the name of my channel. Games According to Steph, or I think they said Games According to Us. You guys have already changed it.
Yes, we opened it up to
others. That's fine, okay? It's all right. There for a few days, it was just Games According to Steph, and it was glorious. but one of the ones that I mentioned in there was that a few weeks ago, we covered Trouber Brook for a couple of weeks. And whereas I wasn't a huge fan of the game itself, I have a headcanon that has to do with the game that probably most of the people in this chat know about. But guys, so Hans and Lazarus, Hans is your main character in the game. Lazarus is this scientist / Time Lord. I mean, that's not canon for Michelle and Mason who are listening, who weren't in that chat. He's not an actual Time Lord, but it seems to be that they're implying that maybe he could be a Time Lord. I don't know. But my headcanon is that Hans and Lazarus were totally an item, even though it was never confirmed, because at the, after you find Lazarus, like, the next scene, like, you know, he wakes up in Hans's bed, although Hans isn't in the bed, you know, and it's in, like, his, like, in room, but, you know, and Lazarus goes on about how much Hans, like, means to him, even though, you know, and apparently, like, it seems like a few days have went by and he's still in Hans's room. And it's like, what's going on? And then, like, your final, like, weapon at the end is, like, this rainbow guitar, I think it was.
Keytar.
It was a rainbow keytar. I mean, and it,
rainbow. And so, like, totally my headcanon is that, you know, Hans and Lazarus, like, shared a few nights together in Trooper Brook, and then after building their rainbow keytar, they head out to the stars to travel the galaxies together. Because in the end, you can choose to travel the galaxies with Lazarus.
The Time Lord.
Which is totally what I did, because they're totally a thing, and it just needs, and so now I'm just imagining, like, Hans and Lazarus just out, like, having a great time together. And, you know, traveling the universe and just, you know, playing their rainbow keytar a lot. Anyway.
That game was so weird.
That's my first headcanon down. It's sizzling, guys. All right, so now I'm going to read a, you guys enjoy that. I'll read a couple of headcanons from our friends over at Reading Gamebow. Elisha Beam says, BioShock Infinite was just a fever dream. Ken Levine and had one weekend while super high after reading some Wikipedia pages about nationalism and religion. In the background, 2K Marin shipped the actual sequel, BioShock 2. So he has strong feelings about BioShock Infinite. Let's see. Another one from Elijah Beam. Mass Effect indoctrination theory or bust. Because no way in the hell are the spoiler because of a script leak and a writing oversight. I have not played the current Mass Effect, so I'm unaware of what that spoiler is, but I'm sure it's juicy.
Mass Effect 3 isn't the current one. Andromeda is the current one.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't say 3. It says Mass Effect Indoctrination Theory or Bust.
That's talking about the original trilogy.
Okay, well,
sorry.
Original trilogy.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, please. I've only played I haven't played that much Mass Effect, which Michelle is cringing in the background. I can feel it from here. And it's fine.
Game Chat 2021, Mass Effect.
Oh, God. I mean, sure. Whatever. If it will get me to play them, maybe. All right. So we'll go back up to Frank. If you want to give us another one from your list that you kind of almost gave us last time, but go ahead.
I would like to play out what would happen. Life is Strange, too, if they just stayed at the house after the incident. Like, the cops show up, and it's like, wow, what happened here? There's no way these two kids could have done this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God. Yeah, he goes to the party, maybe, you know.
If it wasn't a road trip movie.
And it was a road trip war. It might have been a boring game, but it made more sense.
I mean, Life is Strange 1 wasn't a road trip movie, and it was a great game.
Oh, no, because
but then how are you going to introduce hippies?
Oh, Lord. Here we go again. Let's do not hippies. Start. If you guys
there are hipsters.
If you guys would like to hear our thoughts on Life is Strange 2, you can hear those chats over at thegamechat.net.
Just a pet peeve of mine that, you know, you make a totally illogical, irrational decision like that in a game. That's just...
I like the kids making a mess, just destroying everything.
Well, I've just... You know, you didn't do anything. Just wait for the cops.
Oh, yeah. Like in the beginning. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But.
And it's just downhill from there.
Yeah. It's just a train that just keeps colliding with other trains and keeps on going.
Yeah, there's even a train in this game.
Oh, that's another headcanon that I could talk about. Anyways. Awesome. All right. Thank you, Frank. Jonathan, give us another one from your list, please.
Okay. I'll save my serious one for last.
Okay.
okay. This one's just as serious. It kind of builds upon my last one. So stay with me. Control. Federal Bureau of Control. Secret government organization. You know, like X-Files. It's like it's there in the background. The government acknowledges it, but not really. You know, doesn't it remind you of a certain other secret government organization from another game we played? The United States Department of Paranormal Activity in Beyond Two Souls. And that what if Jody Holmes and her psychic friend Aiden?
Yeah.
What if she herself is an object of power that they think is paranormal activity, and so they put her under that side of the government? But what if they put them in the wrong government files, and it's like, you know, all sorts of crazy, you know, secret government stuff going on, you know, and it's like Jody should be like fighting crime with Jesse Faden, and
that would be cool.
And building on top of that, you know, since, you know, Night Trap is now confirmed to be in the same world, Night Trap is a David Cage game. So there we go.
That it all ties together, doesn't it?
The puzzle pieces just fit so perfectly.
Yes, they do.
It's unraveling.
Yes.
I'm seeing the grander picture here.
I thought you were going to say that Orwell was the mechanism by which they monitor all communication so that they can know about stuff.
Oh my gosh. So, you're right.
Does that fit as well?
We're getting this whole like dark web of games that are just all interconnected and we never knew about it.
I never played the second Orwell game.
It's not as good as the first, but it's good.
It's interesting because when we played it, it was like right after Cambridge Analytica stuff had come out in the news. So it has some aspects of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Here's one. This was in Soma that we played, I guess, about a month or two ago. Simon is the main character in Soma, and you find out a little bit of the way through that he's not as 100% human as he thought. And so my personal theory is that Simon is the pinnacle of achievement. For the structure gel and the AI, the WoW that was underground, that was not underground, underwater, that was kind of mashing all these like digital copies of humans into robot bodies. That Simon is kind of the pinnacle of achievement for it, and that if the WoW were allowed to continue, that we would have had a lot more human-ish things around that would have been perfectly suited for post-apocalyptic, because it was like post comet, right?
Yeah,
the comet hit the Earth, and they were it at the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, so the WoW was actually doing good, and Simon and Catherine kind of messed it all up. But
yes. They absolutely did.
They got to live on a satellite. So it's one version of them got to live on a satellite.
I like it. Kevin, you want to share another one from your list?
Yep. This one covers two games, because it's a game universe. Plus whatever the next game is that comes out, whatever that will be. It's not enough. To the Moon universe. I think that my theory headcanon is that all of it is, or like the game is either in both or one of the two characters that we play as. I can't remember what their names are. But the two scientists that you play as, like the whole entire thing is you're actually looking at their memories.
Ooh. I like it.
So, like, they're either still like alive while they're doing this, or this is like at the end of their life. So, it's kind of morbid, but also cool at the same time.
Yeah.
You do see a little bit of that and get some, at least it seems like there's hinting of the one guy's imaginary friend within the second game, like doing some stuff within the world while you're playing with them. So inceptioning.
Yeah, and those were the To the Moon games.
Yeah. The To the Moon games. To the Moon and then Finding Paradise.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Chris, you want to read one from your list?
Yeah, so this one is Valiant Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
I have like an alternate ending where, if I remember correctly, the guy you play ends up being shot from a firing squad.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah.
Yep.
So my ending is, rather than that happening, the dog comes along and saves you from that. And then you end up along with the dog ending the war and moving on to create world peace through dog ownership.
Absolutely.
Love it.
top notch headcanon.
Yeah. That one's a quick one, so
I like it. I like it. All right. Let's see. Oh, this one's easy. And this one's our actually for our most current recent game that we talked about, East Shade. My headcanon is that because at the end of the game, it fades to black after you still with the island, it fades to black, and then you kind of are in like this little, like your painter's room back where you live, and you have all the little letters. But my headcanon is that whenever you're sailing away from East Shade, and it does that long ride, and then it fades to black. That as soon as it fades to black, that the player character is like, no, turn this boat around. I need to go back. And the boat turns around, takes you back to East Shade. You're like, guys, I'm back forever. You start writing all your friends and family, like, you need to come and visit me or come live here. Like, there's plenty. I'm sure that we can find a place in Nava for you. And, you know. And then you go down to the roots, down to the, you know, the psychedelic tea room, and just spend an entire day drinking dream tea.
And having no dreams.
That is, yes, correct. I would either want to be that way, or that we mentioned that a good sequel for the game would be to possibly, I know Madeline mentioned like your child come back. Or even for me, I think it, like 10 years would go by and like you come back 10 years later and, you know, drink some more dream tea, paint some more paintings. Things are different. And also that the ghosts are real. You come back, you find out the ghosts are real stuff. Supernatural stuff is still happening. Those mushrooms are gone and the ghosts are still around. So, yeah, that's my headcanon. That was actually probably the first one I wrote down for tonight. but yeah.
Beautiful.
And then a couple more of our reading game bow friends. Brandon Z says, I always thought that there was a romance between Midna and Link in Twilight Princess. The ending got me a little teary-eyed back in the day. Summer S. Wilson says, the ending of Bioshock Infinite was some weird, drunk-induced mess, and instead, Elizabeth was most certainly not Booker's daughter, and they had a great, happy life together.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have not, I have, but I played Bioshock 1 and 2. Jonathan puts in chat, why does everyone hate Bioshock Infinite? I haven't played it yet. I never got around to playing it, which I need to. I own it, I think, on like two systems, just because I think it was like free somewhere. And then
I honestly didn't realize that there was this whole like hate against that game until like a week ago, and now it's popped up everywhere for me. And I'm like, what?
Poor Jonathan.
What? I think it's because the game is more about the illusion of choice rather than choice itself.
But Jonathan, you should be...
I love that game.
You should be used to
I never played any of the other Bioshock games.
You should be used to...
Just like Mass Effect 3 was my first Mass Effect game. I'm weird.
It's okay.
I only had a Wii and a Mac for the longest time. I could play games when I could.
Bless your heart.
I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say.
To be fair, I mean, I played the entire Bioshock franchise. It wasn't my favorite Bioshock, but it wasn't a bad Bioshock by any stretch of the imagination.
I'll have to play and let you know, because I haven't. I really liked the first Bioshock. Second Bioshock was kind of, I felt the same run as Bioshock 1, but still good. Yeah, someday. Anyways, Frank, we're back to you. And then we'll see where we sit after we go through again. We might do like four at least. So.
Okay. Just sit here scrolling through the list on the website. I just want to say, man, we have played some incredible games.
We have. Happy 200.
Indeed. But it just occurred to me that it would be nice to have a mashup of what if the new arcade shop from Arcade Spirits moved next to a quirky bar from Valhalla. The managing of the personalities between the two.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have a dog, Chris. It would be amazing.
I love it. What was the first game you mentioned?
Valhalla. Oh,
yes.
Arcade Spirits.
Oh, okay, got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I would play that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good choice. Good choice. All right, Jonathan, you want to share another one from your list?
Oh, it's my turn. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is my... I mean, they're all my headcanons are legitimate, and I stand by them. but this one, it was really the main one that, like, that I think that I fully believe. It deals with Layers of Fear 2, which was the game Steph and Madeline forced me to play, and I'm glad they did, because... I, for some reason, I still don't know why, but I like that game. I was like, I'm gonna know everything about this game. And it's, to this date, it's the only game I ever learned to speed run. and I like, you know, I think I said this during that chance, like I beat that game like three times before we chatted about it. And I got all the achievements on it on Xbox. And I still have not played Layers of Fear 1, but my headcanon is that, like, there is a bunch of unlockables and things you could unlock in that game. And some of the hardest ones you had to do, you couldn't do them in one playthrough. You had to, like, look through the looking glass in between levels at certain times at certain angles to find things in the ocean. It made no sense to the actual story, and I had to look up my notes that I chicken scratched wrote down somewhere when I was playing it, but I fully believe that those weird things, because they had these weird ominous voiceovers that didn't seem to have anything to do with the game, it is still my belief that that was them setting up future Layers of Fear game like as like a sort of anthology series, but keeping them somewhat connected, because I think like one of the objects talked about, I think it was talking about the Rat Queen, which was in there, and then the Faceless Woman, which was from the first game, I think. And then like one's talking about the director, and then there's one that's like kind of like, oh, I don't know who that is, kind of think what they're talking about. And so it's like, I think it's like creating this whole like weird, like evil deity, like pantheon that the games are following, you know, like how, and like that is my legitimate headcanon that I fully believe is true for Layers of Fear franchise. And I hope they make more. And I own Layers of Fear 1, I just haven't played it yet.
You need to.
Creepy whisper.
I will. I will. But also, I mean, Layers of Fear 2, just like all the film history stuff crammed into it, I loved.
Like,
I did outside research to figure out what every movie poster was based off of.
See, the first one is painter-based, so...
I don't care about paintings.
And Jonathan released the statement. Well, I don't
game
like
chat ends here, guys.
In the
this
air.
Is it. we end on the 200th as
I've already said like five things where it's like I know this is my last chat. Going out with a bang.
Oh man! All right, Madeline, you want to share one from your list?
Yes. So this is probably the one that I feel the most strongest about of any of them. Frank was saying earlier that he didn't like the ending of Telltale's The Walking Dead 4. I did not either. I personally feel like it doesn't take that much to change it to make it a good ending. So in my headcanon, basically the ending scene with AJ and Clementine in the barn happens. And then you see AJ out by the stream like normal. And then he walks back to school and sees everybody. But then when he sees Clementine at the school, Clementine is actually a ghost. AJ is talking to Clementine's ghost.
Oh, yes.
But that's unfortunately ruined because like 30 seconds after AJ talks to Clementine, other people at school talk to Clementine as well. So if like that didn't happen, AJ sat down at the table and was talking to people and then like looked over at Clementine sitting on the steps and then just kept talking to people at the table. Like that's all you would have to do, I feel like, to make it a good ending. And it's not that I want Clementine to be dead. It's just that I hate hand waving stuff to keep characters alive. There's no reason to needlessly kill people, but there's no reason to needlessly protect their lives either, particularly if we already know this is going to be the last game that we're going to have Clementine in.
Yeah.
Cutting off a limb didn't work on Lee, but it somehow miraculously worked on Clementine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, I agree.
Yeah.
So that is my probably the one that I feel the strongest about. And so whenever I think about the game, that's the ending that I think about.
Yeah. And I remember you talking about that during the chat when we had the final chat for that. And I totally agree because that's what I thought, too. And because I thought for sure she was gone. And again, you were there, you know, you mourned when she died and then. All of a sudden, it's like, oh no, she's alive. It's all JK. Fine. It's all fine. You know, this hasn't been an entire series of people dying.
We just wanted you to feel bad.
Yes, correct.
Which is what Telltale has been doing the whole time,
and pretty much all of it has been about. So, great.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, you want to share one from your list?
It's actually kind of like, and there's a couple different things that I could have said, but speaking of other games with bad endings, I would have liked to have changed the end of Thimbleweed Park. Because I just felt it I felt like the end, or like the end, had like a lot of loose strings and was kind of a little bit of a cop out. Like, I understand it was kind of like, it's like, oh, it's a game within a game. But I would have liked to have had it be that, like, the there was something with, I forgot, the person who essentially was Scully.
Mm-hmm.
If she was actually, like, for someone, and she was actually, like, there for, like, the FBI, and, like, all this was part of, like, actually discovering some special technology or something that he had developed, because he basically made himself as an artificial intelligence computer or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like, you don't really ever see much or get more information with her character.
Mm-hmm.
And probably have changed it so that you're basically only playing as I think her name's Summer? I forget what her name is.
Yeah, it's been a while.
The red head.
Mm-hmm.
Where you basically only play as like her and maybe like one other character, because some of the other characters seem needlessly added in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good one. All right. Chris, you want to share one?
Yeah, so mine is, and I think this was, this might have been when you were taking a break. It was Stories Untold.
Yeah, that was, I was out of town. Oh, yeah.
Game.
Yeah. So we had, I think, pretty much discussed our displeasure of it being a twist of person being in a drunk driving accident and him coming to terms of what he had done and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I would have liked it to end would have it actually have been aliens from the, what was it, the third act, fourth act?
This Arctic substation or wherever
it
was.
Yeah. Because that's where the game like really hit its stride and really made it interesting. Like if it just continued on with that, it just really would have been so much more interesting, because the Arctic substation was just so much more engaging than any other part of the game in general. And just a quick kind of recap of the game itself. It's pretty much one of those text adventure games, but with modern day graphics. So it's basically you're sitting in front of a computer, an old style computer, and you're typing in. And as you're typing, stuff is like happening to the environment around you. But then when you're at the, well, as you're progressing through each level, you're actually interacting with other stuff within the environment. And the Arctic substation, like you had to go to different terminals to get to different things to solve the puzzles. And it was just, it was so good. And I think if they stuck to that whole alien invasion story, the game itself could have been so much better. Because going from that and then finding out it was just this guy like coming out of a coma or whatnot, and then realizing that he was drunk at a party, got in a car, got in an accident, I think killed his sister or something.
Oof.
And then him waking up in a hospital or going through some sort of therapy and realizing like what he did, and basically the whole game is just his fabrication of trying to cope with what he did. And like I said before in the chat, at the time that it came out, this whole plot device was new, but at the time that we played it, it had been so played out at that point that we were just all sick of it, really. So
yeah.
So it was just a letdown. But again, if it actually had been Aliens, it would have elevated the game so much more.
No.
So yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go through and play that one, but
it was a really fun game up until the ending.
Yeah. Ugh. It's fortunate. Yeah. My next one will be Phoenix Wright and Miles Edgeworth should totally be a thing. Oh my goodness. It's written all over their faces. It's written all over the dialogue in even the first game of Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Especially Miles definitely has a thing for a Phoenix. Absolutely. And like, I've watched other streamers like play the game and they're just like, oh, this was totally written to be like, you know, you're supposed to think these, like, there's something going on, or there should be something going on, but it's not official. Because I looked, it's not even official in the anime. That was a perfect opportunity for them. Not even official there. So. I just want to see these guys find true love. You know, that's all I want. And it's just not. Oh man, it'd be so good. It'd be so good. I guess I just have to stick to my Google image searches. Yeah. Welcome to Ship Chat with Sam. Oh man. All right. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about that one. Like, because in the first, what was it? It was like case two or three that you were helping Miles, and he was saying, like, and Miles was being accused of murder, and he's telling Phoenix, he's like, you of all people, I don't want involved in this case. Like, not you. And all of these things he was saying was absolutely screaming because I love you. And it just didn't happen. And yeah. Man, I'm still disappointed about that. I'm gonna be really sad playing the next two games and knowing that it's just not going to happen. And I'm just going to be stuck in this endless spiral of wanting it to happen, but it not happening. Okay. All right. Let's read a couple more from Reading Gamebo, shall we? Joey Austin Thurmond, his headcanon is the Doomslayer blasts Mick Gordon's soundtrack inside his helmet while killing demons. And Alex J. Gilbert says, it's a well-known conspiracy theory, so not sure if it counts as headcanon, but I subscribe to the Squall is Dead school of thought regarding Final Fantasy VIII. It's the only way the story makes sense to me after Dailing City. What? This is a conspiracy theory? Michelle, put in chat, did you know about this? That Squall is dead the whole time? I wonder if that's the conspiracy. Oh, now I'm fascinated. Now I'm really intrigued. That one kind of blows my mind, and I'm a little shook by it. Honestly.
Did you read these before the show?
No, I didn't, okay? I did not. Okay. So, I think you guys are good to give one more. You think? Yeah, I just want to keep this thing going forever. So 10 more. No, one more. We'll go with one more. The final one. Your final headcanon, Frank. Please tell us.
It's a toss-up. I'm going to do these real quick. I wanted something different in Soma. The very end, in the paradise ending, that you start maybe seeing the simulation start to break down, like the battery's running out on the satellite. It's like, and these characters start to realize, you know, so that they're not really, anything, you know, ethereal. They're just a program running on a satellite. And how do they cope with that?
Whoa.
And the other one I just thought of, I was just scrolling through the games again, and I thought, oh, this would be neat. At the end of Lamplight City.
Yeah.
Like when he places, what does he place? Brandy or something on the flowers on his grave, on his partner's grave?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's flowers.
And like, you don't, like, Miles doesn't hear it in his head, but you sort of see a ghostly figure up by the tombstone saying, like, Miles, I may be out of your head, but I'm not out of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that would be neat.
That game was so good.
I really enjoyed that game.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Frank. Jonathan, your final headcanon.
I don't know.
Can you choose a final, Jonathan?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've gone through my fun ones. I mean, they're all fun. Okay. Stay with me here. Okay.
Okay. Buckling in.
Donut County.
Already.
Who invented the app that makes the whole? No, was it the Federal Bureau of Control? No, sorry.
Doing donut count up for me, man.
This is making it better for you, man. No, seriously though. But okay, this is my headcanon for the sequel to Donut County, the Raccoon King, to get revenge on the world and everyone who's you know wronged him. And to just bring the apocalypse is gonna team up and hire the goose from Untitled Goose Game to just wreak havoc across the world.
Yeah, it just start stealing things and taking it to the Raccoon King.
Think of the goose as like his paid off hitman. You know, it's like that's the force to be reckoned with. You give the goose a control of a quadcopter, it's unstoppable. Because quadcopter was, the whole thing.
I love it. Was
obsessed. You ruined my quadcopter!
Awesome. Thank you, Jonathan. Kevin, what is your final headcanon?
I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. Alternate ending for Trackless, where instead of going looking at the object or going back to the beginning and just like going back on your way home, when you free Meowers, you go and meet him in the random barn in the desert, and then you go on a journey with Meowers. And, I forgot what her name. The ninja lady. The cyborg lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And leave Leander behind, because I don't like Leander.
All right, cool. Thank you for that. Chris, you want to give your final headcanon?
Yeah, so mine is more of like a sequel that has never happened and probably never will. But Grim Fandango. Because I've always thought about them revisiting the Land of the Dead, but issues with not only issues with getting licensing from Disney, which isn't going to be a huge deal, but with What's his name there? Tim Schafer. saying that he doesn't really do sequels of games. I don't really see him revisiting the land or the story of Grim Fandango.
Yeah.
But I always envisioned there being some sort of corruption that happening again that would, like, I could see Glottis showing up at I can't remember what they called, like, the heaven aspect of the afterlife, but I could always show him coming up, coming over to see Manny and telling him that, like, they're in need of help, and kind of like pulling him out of retirement to come in and help, or help him, like, or have him come back to help revive the underground to start the revolution up again, and or whatnot. But I don't know, just another story within that universe. But if it happens, I would be so happy. But I know that it's probably never going to happen.
We can only wish. You can only wish.
He's doing a sequel to Psychonauts.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We'll see what happens. But again, because the licensing is all with Disney now, who knows how attractive it would be for him to even bother to try and to attempt that. I mean, he has remastered it, but still, that doesn't really say much.
Gotcha. Thank you. My final headcanon, I think I'm going to go with kind of an off the wall 1111 Memories Retold that we covered a while ago. The game, I think, the game had a lot of unfortunate aspects about it. But I think that, like, there were different endings, and in one of them, one or two of them, I think maybe just one of them, they both survived, both of the two main characters, which was Kurt and Harry. And my headcanon is that, you know, because they just, if they both survive, it kind of shows them kind of just going off. Like, Harry goes back to home and Kurt goes back to his family. And I was like, my headcanon is that they realize that, you know, their friendship was so important to each other, and that they were really there for each other in a lot of tough spots, that Kurt just, you know, leaves the woman that was, you know, horrible to him anyways and strange. Harry. Yes. That Harry leaves his girlfriend back in, what was it, like, France? No, it wasn't France. They went to France. It was like Europe, I think, or was it America? I don't remember.
Canada.
That he doesn't go back to his girlfriend, but instead stays with Kurt and his family as kind of like an adopted son, because their son passed. And so he stays with them and they're just one big happy family. Or the game, instead of being told from Kurt and Harry's perspective, is just told from the cat's perspective. So I'll take either of those options.
Yeah, that probably would have been a better story.
Yeah, I think so. So that's my final headcanon. I had a couple more, but that one seemed more kind of... A lot of mine were from recent games, and so I felt bad, so I kind of wanted to go a little bit further back. So that's it. Thank you guys so much for sharing your headcanons this evening, and also for taking part in game chat for the last 200 chats. No matter how long you've been here, you're appreciated. Are you blowing something, Jonathan?
No, I didn't.
It sounded like a whistle.
Breathing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll stop breathing. I'm sorry.
He's doing the
I thought you were playing like a kazoo or something. I apologize.
Wow.
Well, I'm just I'm digging my hole deeper. Am I not? We'll just say that I just misunderstood. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you guys. It's been a fun time, and here's to 200 more game chats. I mean, I'm in, you know? I mean, what else do I have to do with my life? Going over what we have going on next. Next week, May the 5th, we're talking about Abzu, which was released back in August of 2016, developed by Giant Squid and available on PS4, Switch, Xbox One, and PC. May the 12th, we'll be talking about That Dragon Cancer. And our next month chats on June the 16th, which is 999, 9 hours, 9 persons, and 9 doors, which is available on Steam. Yes. Also, some point this year, we'll talk about Dragon Age Inquisitions. I swear it, okay? You can take, oh my gosh, you can take me to the bank.
I was just coughing. I can't breathe. I sound like a kazoo.
All right. One more game chat. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcasts under The Game Chat for past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat or follow us on Facebook under Game Chat. And leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might just read it on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net or send us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week when we'll be chatting about Abzu. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat you guys later. Bye!
Screw you, Bowden.